for the opening of the new embassy. Ratings for last night's telecast of the Academy Awards from Hollywood took a nosedive, down 20% from last year to a record low. In fact, Nielsen says in records that date back to the mid-70s, the Academy Awards had never before dipped below 30 million viewers until last night. I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland. I'm your host, Chauncey Haworth, and this is my other host, Sean, the host of my hosting.
Hello.
How's it going, Sean?
Good. I finally got around to watching that It remake.
Oh, yeah? What'd you think of
it? I thought it was quite good. I don't know that it scared me very much. I think I would have been more scared, you know, maybe if I'd seen it in the theater or something.
Most of Stephen King's movies that are somewhat true to the source material are not actually that scary,
sure,
in my opinion. They're a little more fantasy, adventure-y, and stuff like that.
Right, and I mean, essentially, it's like a coming-of-age story.
Right.
And the monster just happens to be, you know, the antagonist happens to be really, really freaky. But it's interesting, though, because I think, in general, Stephen King's books are terrifying.
Right.
Like,
right.
I mean,
they just don't convey well to
exactly.
Visuals,
yeah. I mean, The Shining is a really scary movie.
But nothing like the
book. The Shining, the book, is very different and also much scarier, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
Same thing with It.
Yeah, the Stanley Kubrick movie is nothing like
right.
the book.
No, it's not. Though I do think, you know, it's probably about as scary as you could have gotten while translating that to film.
Yeah, yeah. The cool thing about The Shining to me is that it carried a feeling of dread in the movie without actually having any starts.
Yeah,
there was really no point where you were going to jump out of your seat.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Maybe when he came around the turn to the twins, that was a little.
Yeah, there were a couple. Well, actually, I think it's just that one. And you did have the classic, like, scare cord, right, when you see them.
Right, yeah.
But, I mean, even that, it's not like they pop out of anywhere. It's like the camera's turning a corner, and there they are. So, yeah, I agree. It very effectively builds suspense throughout that entire thing.
Well, normally, we are a paranormal show.
Uh-huh.
But, really, what we are is the Chauncey and Sean show about whatever weird stuff we can get our hands on, which tends to be
sure.
paranormal because we like that. But tonight, why are we talking about horror movies? Because we are having a low-budget horror auteur on our show.
And because we always talk about horror movies.
Yes, I'm a very lonely man. I'm a lonely man. I have been a insane horror movie fan ever since I was very little. I'll try to dabble my way around how, I got involved in horror movies. I hated going to school.
Sure.
And, about fourth grade on, I would stay home sick several days a week because I was faking it.
Sure.
Because I just hated it. And, I would walk up to the video store, and this was before they stopped you from renting R-rated movies. So I would rent just whatever R-rated. And so it didn't take long for, fourth grade? We're looking at 10-year-old Chauncey.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't take long for 10-year-old Chauncey to figure out that in horror films, the young boy that I was, that it was not uncommon that I would see things that young boys didn't normally get to see.
Okay. I have no idea what you mean.
Nudity.
I was being sarcastic.
All right. You know, and so I think, you know, my initial love stemmed from that, but it didn't take long for me to flip-flop around. And really, by the time I was 18, I was watching silent films. I'd seen all the Universal Monster movies, you know, Hammer's films from the 70s. I just became a, you know, I would just go to new video stores and just clear out their horror movie sections and
you know,
watch them all.
I've often wondered, do you get, like, desensitized? Like, what's the last horror movie that really scared you?
A lot of it has to do with how you feel in the moment.
Sure.
And the situation that you're in. But no, I don't get desensitized. I get desensitized in the movie sense. Where,
to, like, the cinematic tropes and stuff.
Yeah, where I kind of know what's coming, and I'm a little disappointed that I just got told the same old story or something like that. Uh-huh. But really, if you're a fan of stories and movies, you really realize that just about every movie here in Western culture is either based off of the Bible or Shakespeare.
Sure.
You know, it's all kind of the same stories. Yeah. But as far as desensitized, so this is why I'm a lonely man when it comes to being a horror fan, is I haven't met a lot of other horror fans like me. They either just don't like them as much as I do,
mm-hmm.
or they like them way too much.
Right, and it's disturbing.
Yeah. I have no interest in lurking and having people think I'm mysterious. I am not mysterious. To me, a horror film is not something that I hope to live. A horror film is like riding a roller coaster.
Right.
You know? Ever since I was little, I drew pictures, I drew comic books, I played in bands, wrote songs. My imagination is important to me, and it's easily inspired, and anything fantastic that goes outside of the realm of reality can get my imagination going, and it's like riding a roller coaster, and then when I get off at the end, I go, oh, that was totally cool, I totally believed for an hour and a half that I was going to get possessed by the spirit of a 12-year-old girl or something. An evil one.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Not just any old 12-year-old girl, you know.
Right.
Little Cindy from the daycare.
Right, yeah. I'm just thinking about what my daughter was into when she was 12, and, like, it would basically be a lot of just terrible, terrible anime. But, so horror movies are very important to me. I'm very excited about meeting our guest tonight, Drew Maverick. He made a movie called Pool Party Massacre, and it sounds like he might be a kindred spirit.
Yeah.
You know, he might
or
be my new best friend.
Or he likes them way too much, and this is going to be uncomfortable.
Yeah, do you think he's going to get on there and be all, good evening? I don't think so.
Though that would be funny.
Because he does what I want to do. I don't want to make Hollywood blockbusters. I want to make low-budget horror films.
With a soul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, things that maybe you have to, you know, exercise your suspension of disbelief a little bit to get around some of the effects and to get around the situation because
sure.
You're into it. Now, I haven't seen his movie. I'm not trying to put it down. Frankly, his movie's locked up pretty tight. I wasn't able to get a copy, and I went and tried to download it, and I spent like 2 hours today getting the virus off my computer because I went to a shady site to try to get it. So he'll be happy to know that his movie's like pretty well locked down.
Yeah.
I did watch the preview. Looks good. I did read the whatever it is that they call the treatment, the sure. summary of it. And so I'm pretty gosh darn excited. So we're going to go to commercial break. And when we come back, we got Drew Maverick, horror movie auteur and maker of Pool Party Massacre.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Let me ask you something. When is the last time you went to the range and shot your personal protection firearm? With this problem in mind, we at Northern Firearms Instruction have developed the NFI Defensive Pistol Course, taught one Sunday a month from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Reading Gun Club. This class reviews all the important concepts of the use of a pistol for self-defense. Bring 100 cartridges and your firearm to spend 5 hours with a certified NRA instructor. Call us today at 999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. Remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Some things in life you can just rely on, like the perfect fit of your favorite pair of jeans, the nap-inducing powers of your trusty recliner, and the tried and true performance of a new Rood home heating system. So here's to reliability, built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance today, 530-221-2642. At Alliance Heating and Air, everybody calls us.
Residents of a swanky retirement home are looking at financial ruin thanks to a crooked advisor, but see a way to exact revenge, recoup their losses, and stay out of jail, maybe. Join the fun as the Riverfront Playhouse presents Jack of Diamonds, a comedy by Marcia Cash and Douglas E. Hughes, directed by Leon and Kathy Compton. Tickets at riverfrontplayhouse.net or at Enjoy the Store on Placer Street in Redding. Showtimes Friday and Saturday at 7:30, Sunday matinees at 2, March 10th through 31st.
Shasta County's Mental Health Alcohol and Drug Advisory Board needs your help to shape mental wellness in the North State. Come to the board's special goal-setting meeting to learn more about available services and give your input on mental health matters affecting our area. The meeting will be Wednesday, March 7th, starting at 5:15 p.m. in the Shasta County Board of Supervisors Chambers at 1450 Court Street. Join us. Make your voice heard.
Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, owner of Powerhouse Solar. I'm here with Jeb Allen, owner of Palomar Homes, and we're here at the Salt Creek Heights subdivision.
We're very fortunate to be involved with Powerhouse as they do such a great job on the installation. It's clean, it's simple, it's a no-brainer. The first 34 home buyers in Salt Creek subdivision comes with a solar setup already.
The thing that to me is exciting is that each home has the ability to turn their home into a zero-energy home. And they can be part of making this a zero-energy community. The system that we're installing, up to 10 panels, will eliminate all of the kilowatt-hour usage of that home. And if they add a pool, if they add an electric car in the future, then at that point they can add more solar to offset those loads as well.
We've already recognized quite a bit of savings by using SunPower and Powerhouse Solar.
If you'd like more information on Salt Creek Heights and how Powerhouse Solar can zero out your energy bill, call 275-5600 today.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Drew Maverick. Drew, we got you there.
Yes, I'm here.
I am so excited to have you on. I think our scheduler slash a whole lot of other things, Andrea, told you that I am a huge fan of horror films.
She did. And hopefully it's true.
Oh, it's true.
Oh, my God.
It's hard to get me not to talk about them and to talk about the topics I'm supposed to have.
I can confirm this.
Yeah. In fact, our final segment tends to be like when we have UFOs or Bigfoots or all sorts of other topics on. One of our final segments tends to be me just making pop culture references to the topic that we had, mainly through horror films.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's how I live my life.
All right. Well, I was hoping to find a kindred spirit in my love of horror films, because in the last break I was telling Sean that a lot of the time I have a hard time finding friends who are into horror movies because they either don't like them in the same way or as much as I do, or they just like them a little too much, and they like want it to be their lives, where I like it as like a roller coaster, and you know, I don't want to be mysterious or creepy. I just want to watch it, you know.
Sure, yeah, there's always a line that you don't want to cross.
Right. So how'd you get started doing this? And I'm going to be taking notes because I want to do it too.
Well, I don't know if I'm the right person to tell anyone how to do anything. I'm making it up as I go along. But I do know how it worked out for me. And so far, so good. I mean, I've been in the production business for a long time. I think it's about 15 years now that I've worked in film video production. But that's, I started my career and we're still continue my career producing commercials. So that's where I didn't start producing them. I started being a PA on them and like getting complicated Starbucks orders and like running errands and photocopying things. But I started in commercials and now I still do that. I produce television commercials to pay the bills. And when I have any money left over after I pay my bills, I try to make something horror related with it.
And, you know, so why horror?
I've been a fan of horror since as long as I can remember. Not necessarily an obsessed fan, but a fan. My mom was a fan, so I could probably trace it back to her. I mean, she showed me movies like Psycho and The Exorcist and things, movies that she loved that were a little before my time. So, and she had no filter. I mean, she was a great parent. And did police many other things, but for some reason, ratings on movies, she was oblivious to. So I could watch anything. I was that friend to my friends in my little neighborhood in Southern California who had, we had a wall of VHS tapes. My mom would go every week and rent a bunch of VHS tapes, and then she would come home and spend 2 days dubbing them all onto tapes. So that we could watch, so that we wouldn't have to, because you rented them for a night or two nights, so she would want to, you know, get 10 movies,
right.
Just pay for one night each, and then we could watch them at our leisure. She didn't sell them at the swap meet or anything, but she would just for us to view, and then they would go on this gigantic wall. So we had this huge wall full of tapes. Each tape had, you know, 2 to 4 movies on them.
Right.
And so I had access to that. And they were all, I think in her head she had some, she would try to tie the movies together in some way. Some were obvious if there were sequels, but then sometimes it would just be cast members or maybe it would be just the letter they start with.
Right.
I mean, there were some of them had zero rhyme or reason at all. So I might be watching, you know, Police Academy and it might go into Poltergeist.
Right.
Just because they both started with a P. And I probably shouldn't have been watching either of those movies, but...
Well, my kids are definitely have always been those friends as well because, you know, as a parent, you got to judge your kids and how they handle things. And, you know, my kids never really had a problem with those things. And so they were able to move further and further along without really having a problem with them. But if they did or didn't, you know, I might have shut that down. So
sure, it's definitely a case. I mean, people ask me that all the time because my son's 11 now, and he comes to conventions with me. He actually works the Pool Party Massacre booth for me, there's times when I need to step away to do an interview or just to go spend money, and I know I can leave him, and he works the booth, and he's actually probably a better salesman than I am. So
more
people
approachable.
Will often refer to me, like, when is it okay for my child to watch Texas Chainsaw? And my answer is always, that's up to you. You know, it's a case by case basis. My son's not ready for Texas Chainsaw yet, but I took him to see the new It. I mean, it's just all, you know, it's all relative. You have to know your kid, and it's for your sake too. Because if you show them that too early, then it's going to ruin the next 3 to 6 months of your life.
Yeah, I have to admit that the one movie that my daughter Harley really wanted to see that I made her wait a little while to see was Revenge of the Sith, because I wasn't really sure how to explain to her that her favorite character, who was a good guy, is now a bad guy now.
Yeah,
you know, and so it had nothing to do with gore or nudity or any of those things. It solely had to do with the good guy being a bad guy now, and I wasn't sure I was ready to have that conversation. You know.
Oh, that's fine. And your kids are adults now, right?
My youngest just turned 17.
Okay, because I thought I was listening to some of the previous episodes, and I thought I heard you say that.
Yeah, my oldest is 23, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm still, my daughter's 7 and my son's 11, so I'm still in the learning.
The be careful phase.
Yes, sure.
You're in the phase where what you do matters. In my phase now, what I do does not matter to my children whatsoever. They're going to do what they do at this point.
Yeah, I could see. I think my... 11-year-old might already be there.
Yeah. Yeah. My theory has always been that you raise him as well as he can until about 13, and then you just kind of hope and hold on and hope for the best and be there if they prompt any conversations. But really, you're kind of done at that point.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even what we were talking about with the movies, I mean, I had this glorious wall of VHS, which he, well, I guess he kind of has. I have a glorious wall of DVDs and Blu-rays, but he is oblivious to it because he has Netflix and probably and every other Netflix and Hulu and everything else, Shudder, I mean, all on our TV. So if I'm not paying attention, or I'm sure on his iPad too. So, I mean, he's, the movies that I tell him he's not ready for, I'm sure he instantly goes and watches them.
Right.
when he says he's doing his homework, I have a funny feeling he's in his room watching him on his iPad, because I'll catch him at conventions knowing too much.
Right.
Like someone will walk by, like when we were at Sinister Creature Con, Jennifer Rubens from Nightmare on Elm Street Dream Master walked by and he went, oh my God. Oh, she's the I'm Beautiful and I'm Bad Girl. And I'm like, wait, what? How do you know that? And he's like, I saw a clip on YouTube. I'm like, yeah, we need to talk.
Yeah, something about tendon marionettes. I don't know.
Yeah, and he knew the pup, and he's like, where's the guy that's the puppet?
Right.
I'm like, oh, he won't be here.
Well, before we come up on a commercial break, maybe you can give us a brief rundown on what Pool Party Massacre is about.
Sure. So, I mean, to put it simply, it is it's my love letter to 80s slasher films. So it's a story of a group of high-maintenance, socialite, Paris Hilton-type girls that are having an intimate pool party at one of their parents' houses, and unbeknownst to them, there's a killer inside picking them off one by one. Whenever anyone enters the house to make a drink, have sex, that's pretty much the only reasons people in movies go inside the house from a pool party. Then they get killed.
Yeah, that's the MO of these 80s films, is those who sin die and those who don't.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, I wanted to kind of play off of that, but not hit it too hard.
Yeah, you gotta mix it up a little bit so that people don't know what's coming every time. Yeah,
and I kind of intentionally made all of the characters unlikable so that you wouldn't necessarily know. But also I ultimately wanted in the end people to side with the killer. That was my goal, at least. I don't know if that necessarily worked or if it worked because of what I did, but that was definitely my intention.
Well, I think we definitely live in a day and age where it's easier for audiences to side with a killer. You know, I think back in the 80s, you know, everybody imagine themselves in those situations, but nowadays,
Hannibal, Dexter, etc.
You know, right? You know, well, yeah. Back then the only you know tortured villain was maybe Frankenstein. You know, was basically a tortured villain who was not really a villain. You know, but since then there's been a big sway in that, and so I see it with my kids. You know, they identify with the bad guys. They're playing Star Wars video game, and I'm like, "What are you, the Sith?" They're like, "Oh yeah, I'm the Sith."
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's dying to be Jason on the Friday the 13th video game.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, we are coming up on our commercial break. Everybody stick around. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with our guest, Drew Maverick, talking about his film, Pool Party Massacre. Come on back.
Thank you.
purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
On Friday, March 9th, at the new Sheridan Reading Hotel at the Sundial Bridge, the Trade School is hosting the Electricians Ball 2018, an elegant evening of dining along with the Craftsman's Art Auction. This fundraiser supports scholarships and technology upgrades. Please help us create rewarding career opportunities in the skilled trades. Millions of jobs are waiting. Our young people deserve a prosperous future. Visit ShastaBE.com/events and register or call 221-5556. All are welcome.
The Trade School, the Shasta Builders Exchange. Train, build, succeed.
I'm tired of working for minimum wage. I'm ready to go back to school and learn a trade so I can take better care of my family.
Shasta College has more job training programs.
I've always wanted to go to college, but I'm just not sure I can afford it.
Shasta College has more financial aid.
I plan to attend a university, but would like to save time and money by taking my prerequisites close to home.
Shasta College has more guaranteed transfer programs at a fraction of the cost of a CSU, UC, or for-profit college. For over 65 years, Shasta College has been helping people like you get more out of life with job training programs and transfer-level college courses so you can save 2 years' worth of higher tuition costs. With Shasta College, it's all about more. More classes, more flexibility, and more ways to graduate and transfer than ever before. Make an appointment today to talk to a counselor about how you can achieve your goals. Call 242-7650 and start fulfilling your educational dreams. For more information, visit online at shastacollege.edu.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Hi, this is Sharon Clark, owner of Home Helpers. Join me at 9 a.m. every Wednesday for Generations Talk Radio, right here on KCNR 1460. Topics will include resources and businesses that you need to know about. We will talk money, travel, healthcare, and more. Embrace aging. Listen to Generations Talk Radio, Wednesdays at 9 a.m. here on KCNR 1460. Archive shows at generationstalkradio.com.
Black Bear Diner was started by a couple of hungry guys with a big dream. That dream? Good old-fashioned family food with great service. Like the classic Volcano Breakfast. Secret recipes, sweet cream pancakes, hickory smoked bacon, sausage, and fresh cracked eggs. Mmm. Served day or night at over 100 Black Bear Diner locations. Feeding all you hungry bears out there makes us so proud.
Here's your breakfast for dinner. No more coffee?
Thanks, Rosie. I'm sorry. Pancakes at sunset make me a little emotional.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest Drew Maverick. We're talking about his film Pool Party Massacre as well as horror films in general. And we left off talking about Pool Party Massacre being a love letter to 80s slasher films. So, you know, what's your... I realize this is a loaded question, so, you know, you can be vague. But what's your favorite 80s slasher film? And you can go back to the 70s, too.
Yeah, it's such a tough question, and I do get asked it a lot, and I feel like my answer probably changes every single time because I'm really just picking at of my favorite ones, and then and which ones I watch the most, which aren't necessarily my favorite. They're just the ones that I happen to watch the most. Like Friday 4, I probably have watched that more than any other entry.
Friday the 13th, part 4?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
The ambulance one. That's the one you watch the most. That's funny. Yeah. I've seen it a ton of times. That's awesome.
And then, of course, Slumber Party Massacre was, I watched that a ton when I was a kid. Happy Birthday to Me was in big rotation.
Yeah.
And then Sleepaway Camp 2 and 3.
Oh, yeah.
Were also in heavy. I mean, I love the original Sleepaway Camp, and nothing can compete with the shock of their first time watching that. But.
Right, the first one.
And my sense of humor.
Yeah, the first one definitely was trying to be very serious, but the second two definitely brought in some lightheartedness to it.
Yeah, and that's where my tastes go. Like, I watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 over part 1 all the time.
Yeah, I think I do too. You know,
clearly part 1's a better movie.
Well, the second half is. The first half of part 1 is like the worst movie ever made. And then, like, all of a sudden it becomes like this serious, like, reality film, and you don't really understand what just flipped, because the first is just terrible acting and the sound quality sucks. And, like, but by the second half of the film, it's like you're watching it for real.
Yeah, it definitely feels that way. And then, you know, and unlike part 2, which don't necessarily feel that way, but it hits my buttons. It's absurd. I mean, there's a chainsaw fight, for God's sakes.
Yeah, absolutely. And the guy with the metal plate in his head that he's like scratching.
Yeah, chop top.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking during the break about movies that paid tribute to 80s films, 80s horror movies, and, you know, of course the biggest one that comes to mind is probably Scream. You know, is the one that set out to obviously pay homage to these things. But a real recent one, I don't know if you've seen it, but House of the Devil I recently just watched, and that was like a great, like, total, even down to the film quality, I kind of felt like I was watching a movie from the 80s.
Yeah, House of the Devil is great. I mean, Ty West is amazing, and yeah, that's a great movie. The feel of that is great. And there's a bunch, I mean, now there's a sea of, like, lower budget 80s. Oh my, like, I don't know if you've seen The Barn.
No, I haven't. I'll have to get a list from you.
Yeah, The Barn's another one. It came out right around the same time as us. Great. It's actually a period piece, so, I mean, it's set in the 80s. But they did a really great job of kind of capturing that, especially knowing what their budget was.
Yeah, when I watch movies that are period pieces, like even down to being set in the 80s, you know, as a guy who produces films, this just crosses my mind, but I'm sure this comes up for you. Wouldn't that be incredibly expensive to make sure that everything and every shot was conveyed the 80s? You couldn't have the wrong car drive through or anything like that. It would sort of narrow in your shots you were able to do.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to do it right and there's any kind of scale to it, then it has to be expensive and time-consuming. I mean, the way that I made, like, with Pool Party Massacre, we had a $6,000 shooting budget and a crew of, on average, of about 5 people. So there was no way. I mean, it crossed my mind when I was writing the script of whether I should set it in the around the time of Slumber Party Massacre, and instantly I knew it would just tie my hands too much. And I also, my goal when I was writing was I was making the movie that my 15-year-old self would make if he could get in a time machine and jump to present day and write a script. I feel like that's what Pool Party Massacre was. For good or for bad, it is what my 15-year-old Drew would have come up with. So that was kind of how I checked myself at times.
So would you say that, like, your genre of choice is the slasher film?
I feel like my genre of choice would just be horror comedy, if I can just have that be abroad.
I see.
If I had to, I mean, because movies like Evil Dead 2 and Return of the Living Dead are also...
Yeah, absolutely.
My favorites.
Dead Alive.
Wouldn't fall into Dead Alive, exactly.
Yeah, my favorite from the 80s is probably Night of the Demons. Or actually, yeah, I think that might be 1990, but yeah, it's just ridiculous, you know.
Even if it's 1990, it's still so 80s that it's 80s.
Right, right. When you look at their haircuts and their outfits, and you say this has to be 85, and then you look at the year, you're like, I don't even see how they did that, but yeah.
Yeah.
So, do you have another one in the works?
I do. I mean, I have a couple projects in the works. I'm currently still writing a sequel to Pool Party, so that'll happen hopefully soon. I really wanted to be in production by May, which now that it's March, it might not happen, but it might. it still might. I'm almost done with the script, so.
Well, we'll cover this again at the end of the show. But why don't you tell our listeners at this point where they can get their hands on the film and check it out?
Sure, of course. Yeah, if anybody wants to watch Pool Party Massacre, the easiest
way to sell it.
way to sell it, man. Way to sell it. You're all sure if anybody wants to watch it.
This is why my son's a better salesman at the booth, because people will come up and be like, is this any good? And then my answer is always, no, it's horrible, but you should buy it anyway.
Yeah, good is relative, man. Yeah, good is relative.
But yeah, if anyone does want to watch it for some reason, poolpartymassacre.com, you can get the Blu-ray and the DVD there. We have limited edition VHS that sell out really fast, but we have another edition coming up. And then it's also on iTunes and Amazon.
So yeah.
You can find it there digitally.
I'm going to have to get it off of Amazon. I was telling Sean earlier that by the time this came across my desk, I didn't have time to order it and watch it. So, you know, I tried to find it online, and I ended up, somebody duped me in, and I ended up getting having to spend 2 hours cleaning a virus off my computer this afternoon.
That sucks.
So I was telling Sean that Drew would be pretty happy that his movie's pretty well locked down. Nobody's going to be able to steal it.
Oh, that's good. I feel like I don't even explore that. A lot of other indie filmmakers that are friends of mine sometimes will obsess and spend hours tracking down and finding out how many copies have been posted and how many downloads. I've never gone down that route.
So do you have a circle of indie horror movie filmmaker friends?
Yeah, I would say that I do. I mean, just...
Can I come to your parties if I go to Vegas?
Yeah, well, I mean, I have a group here as well in Vegas. I'm actually producing a horror anthology right now where I've roped in 11 other indie filmmakers that are all in Vegas, and there's 12 of us, and each contributing a short to this Christmas horror anthology that I dreamed up and I'm producing. So I have a great network here in town, but then also around the whole country, just from traveling to festivals and conventions. When you play when your film plays a festival with another indie horror filmmaker, if you're both there, you end up, you know, spending the day together watching movies and then hanging out.
Right.
So you get to know each other. So yeah, I've built up a pretty cool network of talented people.
I have like 2 weeks of serious jealousy going on here. Our guest last week was, I referred to them as the Paranormal Partridge Family. It was a woman and her family that basically had a motorhome and would drive around the country and visit and make little documentaries about paranormal sites like ghosts and UFOs and Bigfoot sightings and everything. And then here you're making low budget horror films, and I purposefully include low budget because that's part of my dream. You know, when I was like 15 and I read a book called Feature Length Filmmaking at Used Car Prices, and it was really my inspiration. And then of course I read Lloyd Kaufman's biography, and I'm just all, you know,
sure,
I can do this. Obviously I can't. You know, here I am working a day job, but all right, we're coming up on another commercial break. You're listening to Drew Maverick talking about his movie Pool Party Massacre. You're listening to Radio Wasteland. Come on back.
Don't need no frozen yogurt. Don't want no tissues. Just want a chance to grow up in the same town where I met you. Is there a phantom in the mall? Folks are bound to ask. Is he the phantom of the mall? Or just some rich side in a broken hockey mask?
Alan Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Steck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you've had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Reading.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
Hi, we're Billy and Patrick for Reading Kia, inviting you to clean up with big savings during Reading Kia's spring cleanup sale.
Kia, America's best value gives you more, like America's best warranty and great gas mileage.
It's the 51 mile per gallon 2018 Kia Niro, highest ranked small SUV in initial quality in 2017. You have got to drive this car.
And you'll clean up on a new 2018 Kia Optima, EPA rated 36 miles per gallon highway, lots of room for your friends and family, and a ride you're going to love.
The 2018 Kia Sorento, highest ranked midsize SUV in initial quality in 2017, is available now and at a great sale price.
And you'll really clean up with complimentary lifetime oil changes when you purchase your next vehicle at Reading Kia. So come on, take a test drive, make a great deal, and be happy at your Kia Superstore.
Reading Kia's spring cleanup sale on now. For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. We both own Kias and we love them.
Reading Kia, Facebook, Instagram, readingkia.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest Drew Maverick, and we're talking about his newest film, Pool Party Massacre, as well as horror movies in general. And before the break, we touched down a little bit on a project you were working on about Christmas shorts, a horror anthology of Christmas shorts. For what I need to throw in, that Christmas is my second favorite holiday, of course, after Halloween, because there is so much potential creepiness going on with Christmas and the history of Christmas and the time of year it is. But I'm really curious, on a producer level, you know, producer kind of implies somewhere between the guy who supplies the money and being a project manager. You know, how do you wrangle these, I believe you said 12 people? Is this something that you just put in their hands and say, hey, bring me something good and I'm going to produce the distribution of it? Or is this something that you put out, or is it on a case-by-case basis? You know, how does that work?
It's kind of a mixture of that. So it's a concept that I created. So there's kind of a through line or a running theme. And then I reached out to all the filmmakers, and I am producing it in the sense that I am managing it all, and I am managing the guidelines or certain guidelines as far as duration, certain parts of the content. It has to be, you know, a lot obvious. It has to hit Christmas. You know, someone can't decide to not make it Christmas.
Right.
And then there are a couple other elements that are part of the story that people need to hit. But then beyond that, I'm giving them complete creative freedom, and I may not even be on set for some of them. I'm hoping to be, since it's all local, and these are all filmmakers that I'm friends with and are part of my, you know, our circle here in Vegas, but I might not get to be. So in that sense, they will just be delivering a 5 to 8 minute short to me to assemble, and then I'm also producing the wraparound and the title cards for each one as well. But look, I reached out to people that I knew, that I know personally, so they know me and they know my intentions and they know the potential for it just through that, but also people that I knew that could deliver it. There's people that I know, even if they didn't have a penny, could still create something of high quality in this amount of time.
Right.
So people that can either have access to or can shoot and edit and know what they're doing.
Yeah, well, we definitely live in this world where a lot of people have the aspirations and even just silently have the dreams of fame and movies. And it's just like anything else in life, you know. I've wanted to make movies. You know, obviously, I'm a horror movie fan, and, you know, I've over the years written a script here, written a script there, tried to get it together. It didn't come together because there was so much work, you know. I played in bands over the years, and, you know, I probably wrote 80 songs. I probably have, at best, 20 recorded, 10 of which are listenable. You know, it's like the amount of my day job is a web development and marketing, so it's like I hesitate to use the word project manager, but really so much of it is just being able to manage yourself and manage that project. So I'm really kind of impressed that you followed through with all this stuff.
It is. And Pool Party was kind of born from that. I mean, I was in the same boat in a way. I still am. I guess I have finished that project and seen it through, but it's still almost like a clean slate once it's gone. But it was born from that. I work with all these talented people, far more talented than me. I'm on the production side, so I'm definitely more of a project manager. I don't shoot. I don't edit. I can't light a scene. So, I mean, these are things that I need. I need other talented people to do, and luckily I, for a day job, hire these talented people on these commercials, so I have a great network. But I watch all these super talented people that have master's degrees in film who could do anything complain that they can't get a project off the ground, or they haven't written the right script yet, or they just don't have the ambition. So finally, and I'd worked on a lot of these projects or started a lot of them with them, and finally, I just said, you know what? I'm going to make a movie. The least talented of our group, I'm going to go make a movie. And they all kind of laughed. I said, no, what if it's not good? And I said, who cares? It's not going to be good. I'll tell you right now.
Right.
But it's going to be done, and I'm going to have fun, and it's going to be an awesome experience. So that's kind of how it happened. And then I started writing Pool Party, and then we went into production with, I mean, originally my joke was that it was going to have an $11 budget. I didn't want to spend a penny more than $11. And that was going to be the gimmick. And then we hit 6,000. So obviously we went way over budget, but still a $6,000 movie is almost, you know, almost nothing. So, but yeah, it was just kind of born from that. Like so many people, it's so hard to just do it. And then your insecurities get in the way, and time, and your regular job, your day jobs, and all these things. So finally I just decided to do it.
You know,
and not knowing if it'd be the only thing I ever did.
Right.
And that's kind of why I treated, now that it's done and it's out and I'm handling all the distribution. I mean, it's for the movie. I mean, the movie's not, it's not a great movie. Like I'm well aware of that. It's what I wanted to make, but it's certainly not a masterpiece. But in a way I treat it like it is in distribution, because I didn't know if I'd get to make another one. So I wanted to do all the things that I dreamed of for selfish reasons. So I made an action figure for the movie. We made VHS release. We have hats and posters and t-shirts and koozies and limited edition sticker, like all these things that I'm like, just in case I don't make another movie ever again.
Right.
This is like my Star Wars. We're going to have everything that I could possibly have.
That's awesome. You know, you're talking about the budget made me think of, I was watching some stand up of Chris Rock, and he was talking about the Blair Witch Project. It wasn't stand-up. It was like at the Oscars or something. And he was saying, you know, they made that movie for only $36,000. And then he's all, you know what I want to know is where'd the other $35,000 go? but those are the greatest films, you know, and you know, frankly, I don't think you're giving yourself creative credit, because as a creative guy, you're saying that insecurity holds people back. It's definitely a factor with everybody I know who's creative. So my circle of creative friends tends to be musicians and band guys. And that has always definitely been a factor. And, you know, you saying that it's not the greatest film, it never will be. The next one, you'll think, the next one should be better. The next one will be better. And then you'll make your fifth one, and you'll look back at the first one, and you'll think, maybe I should remake that because I can do it so much better now, you know. And it's like, you know, so as a creative guy, I really kind of had to learn to cut myself off. Once I've created something, just cut it off. I'm done. I can no longer edit it. This is the finished product.
Yeah, and that's certainly another issue. I mean, I had to do that with Pool Party, and so it's hard sometimes when I'm having debates with people. Like, I'll even do interviews with people that I already read the review of the movie and they didn't like it, because that's fine with me. You know, I'd love to hear their opinions, and usually I'm harder on it than they are anyways. But some of it, they'll say, well, why didn't you reshoot this? Or why didn't you, did you not know that this was part was slow or this didn't? I'm like, no, of course I knew, but that's time and money. I want to make another movie.
Right.
I don't want to sit on this for 4 years trying to make it perfect.
Right.
I want to move on. I have a film that I actually produced and starred in, and we wrapped principal photography a year before I started shooting Pool Party. So in early 2015, like end of 2014 is when we wrapped, actually. And it's still not done. The director's still tweaking it. I have a meeting with him next week. Hopefully, it's supposedly done again. It's been done 5 times in the last 3 years.
Right.
But, and so that's a great example. It's just, I just want it out there.
Yeah. Well, I just love it in general. So, unfortunately, we're coming up here on the end of the show. Can you remind our audience about where they can find out more about you and see the film?
Of course, yeah. If you want to find out any more about me, you can find me on every social media that there is. Unfortunately, my name is not so common, so you can just find me at Drew Marvick on everything. And then Pool Party Massacre, same thing, at Pool Party Massacre. PoolPartyMassacre.com is probably the best hub for everything. Everything's available there. There's links to everything. And surprisingly, if you Google Pool Party Massacre, we come up, and not some like horrible tragedy that happened at a pool.
Give it time. All right, Drew. Well, yeah. We really appreciated having you on the show. You've been listening to Drew Marvick here on Radio Wasteland. Thank you very much for being on our show.
Do you want to sleep? Do you want to drown? Is there
The news is brought to you on KCNR, Shasta, Redding by Tobacco and Brew. Come see their newly remodeled store at 2143 Hilltop Drive in Redding. Tobacco and Brew, open 7 days a week.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. Longtime Republican Senator Thad Cochran is leaving the U.S. Senate. He says he will resign April 1st because of health problems. The 80-year-old Cochran has been in poor health for several months. East Coast residents could be in for another storm soon, just days after last week's major nor'easter knocked out power to millions of homes and businesses. Joan McDonald.